join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with opportunities and opportunists.
In other words, God still needs some starters and initiators. And sometimes people are just simply waiting. And God say, no, that's something I'm calling you to break into. Stop complaining what doesn't exist. Create it. Stop complaining about how people ought to do it. Show them how they ought to do it. I learned over the years to have some real good response when I hear people just run down the church. I don't mean my particular church, but the church and churches. They say, you know, is there so many hypocrites in the church? People be up there lying. They be cheating. They backbite one another. They in competition. All that's going on in the church. I said, it sure is. I said, you know what? We need people like you in the church. Because I know you wouldn't ever do any of those things. Because you need to come to our church and show us how to do this thing. Be a wise master builder. Stop complaining about what is, what isn't. Show folks how to do it. Anybody can sit by and complain about how something ought to be done. Now, I know how chicken ought to taste. I can't make it taste like that. And so sometimes you just got to shut up. I call a song a shut up seed. Song a shut up seed. Well, what's a shut up seed? So you can reap a silent harvest. Sometimes you don't need to say anything because you don't want anybody to say anything about you. I call that song a shut up seed. So you can reap a silent harvest because you don't cross all your T's and you don't dot all your I's. But so opportunists are selfish. Opportunists are only out to benefit themselves. And we're warned to not merely be about ourselves in the scriptures. This is an age where everything is about ourselves. I don't mean any harm, y'all. I don't mean any harm, but I know it's what everybody does now. But all these pictures and videos of yourself and putting your pictures on your story doing this. What is that? Some of y'all, you can't be on a Zoom discussing business without going... Some people are just too consumed with yourself. The reason why you can't love anybody, because you're too in love with yourself. There ain't room to love anybody else. Look what Paul says, Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. He said, stop just being consumed with yourself. Look to benefit someone else. Look to help someone else. Look to add value to somebody else's life. Now, here's the real deal. Whether it's for profit or non-profit, the way that you get money, the way that you get people is to invest in people. The way that you get followers is to give somebody something to follow. Are y'all listening to me? The way that you draw people to you is to give them something that's going to benefit them. We call it adding value. And so you ought to think, Lord, help me this year to add value to somebody else's life. That's how you make money. That's how you enlarge your territory. You add value to someone else. You know, my son, Tyler, helped me with that. I said, because you need to understand, okay, I've been in ministry 25 years, started out 25 years ago. And when I started our ministry, everything. You bought everything. You want to preach a tape, you pay for that tape. You want to preach a video, you pay for that video. You want to preach a book, you pay for that book. And so as our ministry started growing and we came into the 21st century, my staff started saying to me, even by YouTube, they said, Pastor, you can put all our stuff on you for free? You mean like just put it out? They can watch it for free? Just get it. And I had to renew my mind about that thing. And my son said this to me, Dad. He said, you need to understand, this is how it works today, particularly with millennials. He said, you got to keep giving them samples of you. Give them something that'll help them. He said, then when you come out with something that you charge for, they'll be willing to buy that because they've already been helped by what you gave them for free. Oh, that's what the Bible means when it says, if you give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, sitting together, and running over, shall men give in your bosom, rather than just sitting around waiting for everyone to buy, and you really don't have anything to sell. That nothing. Let me read that scripture from the Amplified, Philippians 2, 3, and 4. I hope this is helping somebody. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Look at this. He says, do nothing from factional motives. Through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as better than and superior to himself. Come on, y'all know that. Now, you know that. That's a part you got to meditate on there. It's just that scripture might as well say, let them slap you and turn the other cheek. Y'all know certain scripts, it can't really mean that. It got to have a deeper meaning. Because there ain't no way I'm going to. Let each regard others better, as better than and superior than himself. He said, start looking at other people better than you, as you got something to gain from them. You can learn from them rather than think you're superior to everybody else. Look at this. Thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourselves. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned, watch this, for not merely his own interests, but also each for the interests of others. An opportunity is only concerned about his own interests. The Message translation of that same verse, we're still here in Philippians 2, 3, and 4. It says, don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Well, that's powerful right there. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget, oh, this is so good. I could have wrote it myself, but I didn't write it. Peterson wrote it. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Let me introduce or reintroduce a concept to you. And that is for those of you who have planned to do great things and launch a ministry and start your singing career and your writing career or start your business, whatever, many times for where you are right now, you got to let your vision die. Now, I can tell you the first time I heard that was in the church that launched us into pastoral ministry back in 1992. Came to serve at a church, and the pastor started teaching this principle about you got to let your vision die. Let my vision die. I've been preaching. In this case, I have been preaching long to have been saved. Let your vision die. And it's based upon the principle that says until you have been faithful in that which is another man's, who's going to give you your own? And can I tell you, you cannot be faithful in that which is another man when your vision is driving you crazy. Well, I just know I'm only here temporarily because I'm going to do such and such. I'm going to do such and such. I'm on my way. Okay. And so the Bible says, except a grain of wheat or corn fall into the ground, it remaineth alone. It has to die. And then after it dies, it's fertilized. And then it comes up at the God appointed time. And what that means is that you have to stop traveling internally so you can be still externally. You cannot be still externally as long as you're traveling internally. You're always going to feel like I ought to be here. I'm missing out. No, sometimes you got to get to a place where you just settle down and say, God, I'm in your will. I will be here as long as you want me here. I'll do what you want me to do as long as you want me to do it. And whatever you got planned for my life, I thank you, Father, you're not mismanaging my life. You know what you're doing, and I'm going to wait on you to resurrect it at the right time. I'm a living witness that works, because that nothing happened in my life and my ministry the way I thought it should until I went back and I did that with my prior pastor. Came back and said, I'll be here till Jesus comes. Kind of like, I mean, you remember Hagar? Hagar's running away. She's trying to get out of here. I said, go back, submit yourself. God told me, go back and submit yourself. I went back, submitted myself. 3 months later, God spoke and the door opened. And he told me to come here to Columbia, South Carolina. And the rest is right direction. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk. Put yourself aside. Help somebody else. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. Which is why Paul highly valued and appreciated his spiritual son, Timothy. Quite honestly, if I was some of the other sons, I would have been I probably wouldn't like Timothy too much. Timothy was the Marcia of the Bible. I didn't say Martha, the Marcia. Y'all remember the Brady Bunch? Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. Timothy, Timothy, Timothy. Timothy, Timothy. Every time Paul wanted to write about somebody who was a good servant, a good son, Timothy, Timothy, Timothy. And here goes again in Philippians 2 about Timothy. He talked about Timothy. He talks about Timothy in 1 Corinthians. He said, I'm sending Timothy. He said, because I know he ain't going to steal the money. Here he writes about Timothy. Philippians 2, verse 20. He says, I have no about Timothy. He says, I'm sending Timothy so he can give me a report about how y'all doing. He says, Philippians 2 and 20, if I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Verse 21, for all the rest of these jokers are opportunists. All the rest of these people seek their own, not the things which are of Christ. He said, Timothy, I know he's on assignment. He's going to really care for you. Everybody else is out for what they can get from you. Everybody else is trying to springboard from you. Timothy's going to care for you. No other man like-minded. Then verse 22, he goes on. He says, still talking about Timothy. He said, you know the proof of him. He said, y'all know Timothy. You know his character. Now watch this. That as a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel. As a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel. He's not just trying to take from me. He served with me. But opportunists want association without service. Opportunists want association without doing the work, without doing the service. What are you talking about, Bishop? Go to Acts 15, Acts 15, 36 through 38. I'm going to introduce another concept here, and I'll teach about it in some coming weeks, but I'll introduce it here. Acts 15, 36 through 38. It says, "In some days after Paul says to Barnabas," he said, "let's go on again and visit the brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God." He said, "Let's go check on all the churches that we have planted, and let's see how they're doing." Verse 37. And Barnabas was determined to take with them John. Barnabas was determined to take John with him, whose surname was Mark. So some people call him John Mark. He said, but Paul thought it not good. It wasn't a good idea to take John Mark with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, watch this, and went not with them to the work. He said, we ain't taking John Mark. Because John Mark think we're going on vacation. We're going to work. John Mark is just out to get stamps in his visa, in his passport. Look where we've been. Been here. I've been here. You know, it's like, oh, Jesus, I'm going to get in trouble. It's like I hear preachers say, you know, so I've sat on platform with some. So, Sean, you know what I'm talking about. I've been on platform with so-and-so. Some people, they just want association by name dropping. And Paul said, no, we're not taking John Mark with us, because John thinks we're just cruising or going on. He said, John is not a worker. You don't need people with you. You got to feed and they won't work. You don't need people who are just takers and not contributors. And the Bible says that the contention between Paul and Barnabas became so sharp that Paul and Barnabas' ministry was no longer now Paul and Barnabas' ministry. It's just Paul's ministry, and Barnabas went on. And the truth of the matter is, you never hear about Barnabas again. And yet, a couple chapters earlier, I believe it's Acts 11, the Spirit of the Lord said to the prophets and to the teachers, it says, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I had called them." There were great signs and wonders that were done through the hands of Paul and Barnabas. And yet now Barnabas lets an opportunist get in the way of a God-ordained relationship. And we never hear about Barnabas again. Here's a concept I want to give to you. Favor management. When God brings you into a favor with somebody, you got to know how to manage it, and don't let an opportunist mess it up. You can mismanage favor by hanging with the wrong people. You can mismanage favor by bringing a plus one and the plus one wasn't invited. Don't mismanage your favor. You got to know God brought me here, and the minimum you should do is ask somebody, can you bring them along? And if they say no, then it's no. When God arranges favor with you, know how to manage that. There's certain people, even among us, who help us, and they may have a key to my house, and they may know my alarm code. But the moment I walk in my house, and somebody is there who I may even know, but I know I didn't give them a key or alarm code, and they in my house, and they said, oh, so-and-so gave me your alarm code because she just wanted me to, what? Well, that favor's over. You messed them up, you messed me up, you messed all of us up. I'm messed up. Don't mismanage your favor. Let me go on here. I'm just about to. I got, it's so much in this I want to keep giving you here. Opportunists, y'all, you understand, are unwilling to wait their turn. Opportunists are unwilling to wait their turn. Opportunists always want to cut the line, like some of us would like to do with this virus right now, with this vaccine. Cut the line. I was listening on the news the other day, and they said there are people calling hospitals and calling doctors. Say, I'll give you $10,000, $20,000. I know I'm only 30, supposed to be vaccinated. 70-year-old right now, but I need you to reverse some things here. And they're trying to buy favor. Opportunists are unwilling to wait their turn. Look at 2 Kings 5. I'm going to end with this because this is a good place to end for today. Opportunists are unwilling to wait their turn. Look at 2 Kings 5, 20 through 27. Now let me set this up for you. Elijah, in the prior book of 1 Kings, God tells Elijah after he's complaining and whining and saying, I'm the only one and so unfair. And he was a man of God, but he was, the Bible says, a man of like of passions, meaning he had a lot of emotional ups and downs. And God says, I need you to prepare your replacement. Go anoint Elisha to be the prophet in thy room, in thy stead. He goes and anoints Elisha. Elisha follows him for many years. I believe at least 15 years, and he's being groomed to be the next prophet. We know the story. Elijah is caught up into the whirlwind and on the chariot, and Elisha goes with him on the way. Even when Elijah tries to drive him away, he can't, because he's connected with him as his father, as his spiritual father. He serves him, he stays with him through the hard time, through the good time. He sees his butt. What's his butt? He's a man of God, but he's a little bit emotionally unstable. Everybody can't handle your butt. I know you can sing, but you can preach, but all of us got some butt about us. Okay, that's the natural part of us because we have this treasure in these earthen vessels. And he sticks with him. And so now he receives the mantle. He's the next prophet now. He comes back across. He uses Elijah's mantle, strikes the water. He said, where's the God of Elijah? The water parts just like it did for his master, for his spiritual father Elijah. And he goes apart and everybody sees Elijah and says, the spirit of Elijah now is on Elijah. Now, we don't really see where he comes from, but knowing Elisha's story, I believe something similar to that had to happen for now Gehazi to be serving Elisha. I don't believe it was just a random selection. I believe God had to speak to him and said, this is now going to be the next one. This is the one who's going to serve you and wash your hands like you served and he washed Elijah's hands. But now we see that certain character issues are revealed regarding Elisha. And it's picked up here in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. And the context, Naaman, the Syrian general, had come to Israel to be healed. And Elisha tells him, just go out and wash, dip 7 times in Jordan. He dipped 7 times. He didn't want to do it at first, but he went on and did it. And his skin comes as clean and as smooth as a baby's skin. He's grateful. He's grateful that he's healed. He's grateful that leprosy is gone. And he said, what can I do? He goes back and said, listen, let me do something for you. Let me give you some money. Let me give you some clothes. I got to do something to repay you. And Elijah said, go. Elijah said, go in peace. Go ahead. I don't need any of your stuff. And let's pick up here. 2 Kings 5 and verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, now behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian. He said, he ain't even a Jew. He's not even an Israelite. He's a Syrian. He spared him and not receiving at his hands that which he brought. He don't want any money. He don't want any clothes. But as the Lord liveth. Now, that sounds real spiritual. But let me give modern translation. I swear to God, I'm going to get something from him. That's what it means when it says, as the Lord liveth, I'm going to run. I ain't going to walk. I'm going to run after him. And I'm going to take somewhat of him. His role is to support and to serve Elisha. Now he's just thinking about himself. Rather than thinking about what he's supposed to be contributing to his man of God, he's trying to see what he can get as a result of connection with the man of God. Are y'all seeing this? He says, so Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he figured, well, something's up. What's going on? He jumps down from the chariot to meet him. And he said, is all well? Is everything all right? He said, oh yeah, all is well. My master has sent me, lie number one, saying, behold, Even now, there comes from me, from Mount Ephraim, there's two young men of the sons of the prophet. After you left, there's a couple young men who came, some prophet proteges, sons of the prophets. And I don't need anything. He don't need anything. But he now that they've come, can you give them, I pray thee, give them a talent of silver, which is a bag of money, and give them two changes of garments. Give them a bag of money. Give them a couple new suits. Verse 23, and Naaman said, oh, no, be content. I just ain't going to give you just enough. Be content. Take two talents. Get two bags of money. And he urged him, and he bound two talents in two bags, and he put two chains of garments, and he laid them upon his servants, and they bare them before him. Now, Elisha feeling, but hey, look at this here. Now, I was the servant, but look at me now. I got men following me. Put it right over there. This is the one who's supposed to be serving, but now he's gotten out of servant mode. Can I tell you? You will mess up if you don't stay in servant mode as long as God has you in servant mode. And then let me tell you this. And when you think you're all that, you always got to recognize spiritual authority and quickly condescend and get back in servant mode when God tells you to. So many people miss that. Now he's no longer in servant mode. And he says, he got servants following him, verse 24. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and he bestowed them or hid them in the house. And then he let the men go and then he departed. And then he goes back, okay? He's been AWOL, absent without leave. When you serving somebody, who you serving, you always know where you are when you're supposed to be on duty. Oh, no, let me go on deeper here. I'm grown. Okay.
2021 will present opportunities in your life, but there will also be opportunists looking to take advantage of you. In this teaching, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us how to maximize the opportunities presented to us, as well as how to recognize and avoid the opportunists around us. To order this series, call 877-798-5433. Or order online at rightdirection.info. Just ask for opportunities and opportunists. As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.